All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Sherry Boone with Jamie Tenzer on April 8th, 2014, with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Today, we're honored to have Ann Kelly, PCC, as our guest coach. Please do read Ann's complete bio and see her contact information at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. So here's an outline of our call today. Ann will coach her client for about 25 minutes. Then we will interview Ann for about 10 minutes. And then we'll open up the line for you all to be able to ask questions. At 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and we'll close the call. So Ann and your client, thank you so much. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And everyone else, we invite you now to sit back and listen in to this Real Coaching session. Ann, when you're ready, please begin your coaching.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jamie. And I just wanted to mention to everyone that, yes, there are two Anns on the call. You have an Ann coach and an Ann client. So, but we know who each other is, so we'll keep that straight. And Ann, you and I did one coaching session together about a year ago, and today is our third session over the last month or so.
Right.
So with that little bit of background, in order to be fully present, Ann, is there anything that you would like to set aside physically, mentally, spiritually, so that you feel connected at a heart level and you're ready to focus on yourself?
Maybe, Ann, what I could do is what we did the last three calls is maybe just take 30 or 45 seconds to just of quiet just to get into that heart space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for asking for that. We'll do a little connection. So I'd invite you just to be fully present in your body, setting anything aside, eyes open or closed as you wish. And know that your only task for right now is to breathe. Feel yourself connect to your heart. And when you are ready to begin, let me know.
Okay, Ann, I'm ready.
All right. And as you know, Ann, we can begin with a success story related to your goal from our last coaching session, or we can dive right into a topic that you've brought to our call today. And I have your goal from last time right in front of me, if that would be helpful. Where would you like to begin?
Yeah, it would be wonderful if you could read the goal from last time.
Absolutely. Your goal in our last session was to approach your upcoming work meeting with a positive and effective attitude. How did that go? Is there a success story there for you?
Yeah, I think that was a meeting that I had initially been pretty nervous about. Just to give a little bit of background that I know you know about, but just, you know, I stepped into this job about 4 months ago, and I've come to learn, you know, over the last couple months that the contract that I'm supporting for the government is actually probably going to be discontinued in August. So this meeting that I had to attend that you're referring to, I had to go and kind of make a case for why my group exists. And you know, I'm very new to this role, so I was you know, sort of nervous in the days leading up to it. But, you know, I kind of just had an insight to try and just kind of drop into my heart on all of this and be prepared, of course, and I had notes with me and whatnot, but just to try and come, you know, sort of into it with just like sort of an open space, open heart kind of feeling and sort of make sure that my defenses were down and just to kind of approach everyone with a lot of openness. And I think that did kind of really it set a really good tone for how the meeting played out. It ended up not being a long meeting, and it ended up being a very one of these meetings that was actually really practical, and you got down to the heart of things quickly, and we developed sort of a game plan for how we're going to proceed with this contract I'm supporting. So it was painless, and I was very pleasantly surprised. So I would say that was a success.
A grand success story, and I love the way it ties into your overall goal in the pre-work you did. These were the two questions you answered before we started, which was acting more intentionally and thinking more intentionally. And even as you spoke about walking into that meeting, you said, I was prepared. And I have a picture of you, even with documents and folders, but also with your heart set to act and think intentionally. Wonderful and success story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Go right ahead. I think you were going to add something to that, were you?
Well, I was just going to add that, you know, I hadn't conquered all of my nervous feelings going into that, but I was still able to carry the awareness of just kind of coming from an open space. So I had to manage both a little bit, but I still could kind of keep that focus that I wanted to have. So it was a success despite, you know, bringing in a little bit of that nervous energy as well. But I think it turned around because of my focus.
Excellent. Excellent. Anything else on success stories from anything we've covered, and then we'll dive into the topic that you've brought for today?
I think we can dive in.
All right.
Yeah.
What would you like to dive into today?
Well, I jotted down a few notes. I jotted down 3 points, and I think, so I tried to kind of quickly prioritize them, and the one I think that maybe I'll focus on is the following. It's, well, I'll just give a little context. Again, I stepped into this role, into this new position, not even 4 months ago, and, you know, I was feeling very exuberant. It's a new chapter professionally. I really like what I'm doing, and it's exciting for me, but now I'm finding out that this contract I'm stepping into is probably going to expire. It's not going to be renewed in August. So I'm kind of dealing with this push and pull of wanting to learn and wanting to grow and wanting to commit and dive into things, but then feeling kind of the steam taken out of things because I'm very uncertain about the future of this. When I accepted the position, I didn't know, I wasn't really led to believe that it was going to end in August. So, it's been a sort of an adjustment period. But so I guess what I wanted to discuss is, you know, I want to figure out how I can focus on doing good work and even being innovative despite the uncertainty of how my job may pan out in the near future. I'm having a little bit of a hard time digging in to things and just throwing myself into new efforts because I then feel this kind of other side of me. I feel that uncertainty. And on my better days, I can sort of let go of all that stuff that I can't control, and I can just focus on the day ahead and really just pour myself into the present. But that doesn't happen every day. So that's kind of the primary issue playing out in my professional life right now, I'd say.
May I ask you a question about
that? Of course.
That?
Yeah.
You said, on my better days, I can do it.
Yeah.
It being, I can kind of have one foot in the uncertainty, but the other foot in doing good work, being innovative. Are you aware of why and how you're able to do it on better days?
I think on better days, the reasoning I follow is, well, you know, there's just really nothing I can do about certain things, you know, that are outside of my control. But what I can control is the level of effort and attention I give to this task right in front of me right now. And that's kind of what helps me, you know, it's a relief in a way because it helps me let go of the larger picture, and then I can just kind of lose myself in the task at hand. But I would say when I can do that, that's kind of how I talk myself into that. And it just may be a matter of me kind of remembering that technique I use and trying to apply it to every day.
Tell me a little bit more about that technique.
Okay. I think maybe on days when I have a specific set of tasks that I know I need to undertake, it's a little easier for me to sort of let go of the uncertainties and just focus on these tasks. But I guess on days when my plan is not as well defined, it's a little more difficult to just let go of kind of the uncertainty of my job future. So like one thing maybe I can help myself with is just to brainstorm, okay, what are my tasks for the day? And if I can have sort of a concrete sense of what I need to accomplish in the immediate future, it may possibly help me sort of loosen the hold on that uncertain future that I don't, it's not super helpful to focus on anyway.
So that's a little, microcosm isn't the right word, but it's a pretty specific little chunk. Would looking into this, maybe if I were clearer on my tasks each day, it would help me feel better in the present, not be looking down the road towards uncertainty. Is that something that might be helpful to talk a little bit more about, or just enough of an awareness?
Yeah, I think that's a good what's the word? A good goal, you know, for when I first arrive in the morning.
Great.
Just to get some clarity on what the best focus is for the day, because I do think that would help me let go of you know, the larger picture. But I guess what occurs to me right now is, well, there's a voice inside me saying, well, you have to be focused on the larger picture because at some point you might have to start looking for another job. I guess it's just balancing that too, like being pragmatic about taking steps to look for a new job, if that's going to if that needs to be the case, you know. But then also just focusing on the here and now and kind of doing the best work I can right now. So there's kind of some pulling back and forth within me, yeah.
And there's an in the moment present, this is right in front of me, and you talked earlier about control too, the things that are within your control. I have tasks A, B, C, and D, and then the future past August really is not within your control.
Right. But, you know, it's like, well, should I take steps to look for another job? And I've kind of decided, you know, a sort of time frame for that would be start looking in June.
Okay.
So I guess one way to approach this is, okay, you don't need to worry about August. June is when you're going to kind of jump back in and look for jobs. So until then, I can really just focus on one day at a time, each day as it comes.
Well, I have an acknowledgement bursting forth. I want to acknowledge you for being willing to focus on the present And having the clear vision that June begins the job search, and that what I'm hearing anyway is that you're willing in April and May to be fully involved with what's right in front of you.
Not without experiencing a little bit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
whole letting go process of just focusing on the present, that brings up, just as we're talking right now, it brings up a little bit of, you know, fear to just really let go and delve into the present. But, you know, I do feel that that's, I mean, that's the best approach to take regardless of what's happening in August, you know.
So you mentioned a clear idea when you arrive in the morning of your goals for the day, and then we've also talked about fear of the future. Which of those two would you like to pursue in the time we have left, or a third topic?
You know, I feel pretty clear on this one point that we've talked about. I mean, I kind of feel like I have a plan that you've helped me clarify, and I wouldn't mind exploring one other thing, actually.
A little bit
unrelated.
I just wanted to let you know we will close in about 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay. So I've got my eye on the clock here.
No. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. So now I'm managing people, as you know, and you know, it's exciting in many ways, but then there are some challenges, and I guess one issue that's kind of going through my mind right now, I'm dealing with a teammate that's I'm not dealing, but you know, I'm sort of our daily interactions can sometimes be a little bit challenging, and I was just trying to, I came to the conclusion yesterday that I may be approaching it the wrong way, and I guess the question here is, how informal should I be to build rapport versus how formal, how professional I should be? So I guess I'm trying to strike a balance between formality and professionalism versus informality in order to build rapport. And my natural way is just to be informal so that we can get the rapport building in place. But I'm noticing that maybe it's sometimes okay to be a little more professional so that certain guidelines are honored or are kind of recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing maybe going on for me right now.
So this is another, perhaps, it seems like a lighter version of the push-pull you mentioned earlier. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
challenging. There's formal and there's informal.
Right.
There's both in each case.
Right. And I'm just, intuitively, I have a feeling that I have to find the right balance between how formal, how you know, on like a scale of informality up to, you know, through high formality, I need to find the right point on that spectrum with, particularly with this person, but just in general. Like, I think I want a certain amount of informality. You want to be friendly with people. You want to take your team out to lunch. You want to kind of lighten things. You don't always want to have to be focused on work. But then I feel like if that's the attitude you have all the time, then certain things when you're dealing with work issues, people maybe cross lines sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be blatant, but, you know, you want to keep ethics in place and you want to keep professionalism in place and you want to, so sometimes I feel like I almost should be more formal than I've been.
And may I ask you a question? Oh, go right ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, and it's just trying to strike the balance there. So, yeah, please ask me a question.
What do you feel is your guide? How do you determine when you're balanced?
Well, you know, I guess when we're out at lunch, I can be pretty informal. And that's a good thing. But if we're talking over a set of tasks that I have to assign to someone, you know, I have certain expectations about what needs to get accomplished. So I kind of feel like I have to be a little more direct and formal in establishing my expectations, I guess. So, you know, I guess there are certain situations where being a little more formal is warranted, but I still want to be open and genuine, you know. I don't want mm-hmm. to become a different person versus mm-hmm. when we're hanging out having lunch. And, you know, this may be a little bit of that, the manager's challenge of you want to be, you know, you can't, I guess this is something I've heard over the years. You can't, if you're their manager, you can't be their friend. But, I mean, I certainly want to have, you know, a good friendly relationship, but where there's respect and people understand expectations.
When you are at lunch and when you're back in the office defining tasks, is there, and there's a word that's escaping me, it's a tool that sailors use on ships. I could be completely making this up. But it tells me, or airplanes use it, am I on track? Am I leaning to the left? Am I leaning, what do they call this? But anyway, but am I balanced? Am I balanced?
Right.
You mentioned being open and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an inner guidance that you have that says, I feel good, we're at lunch? What tells you how you're doing, whether at lunch or whether giving tasks? And I'll think of this term later on, mm-hmm. but you have it inside you.
Well, I mean, the obvious thing that comes to mind is if I'm feeling relaxed about how I'm presenting something, then it's probably coming from a good space within me. And even if I'm being direct and kind of managerial, I guess, if I'm doing it from a place where I feel good about, then, you know, I'm probably being respectful. You know, and in asking, you know, that employee to, you know, do certain things, you know, that... you know, the lunch part's not so hard. That's a lot easier. But then it's transitioning back into the workplace and being able to adopt that more, you know, professional tone. But I guess if it's being done again with my kind of in that open heart space,
mm-hmm.
then I'm doing the best I can to be respectful, but you know, ask for what I need from them, you know. And even if it means I have to be direct and firm and, you know, you know, I kind of have to, you know, if I have to ask more of them, for example, than what they've given me, if I'm doing it in a respectful way, then I kind of have to just say, okay, well, I was respectful. Let's let the chips fall where they may, you know.
And does that go back to control, what I have control over and what's beyond my control?
Yeah, it does. Yes. Thank you. It does. And that's very true. I mean, I just have to come from a respectful place and present something and ask for what I need. And beyond that, you know, I don't have full control about how a person's going to react to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But if I can, I guess if I can feel okay about how I presented something, then that's just, then I have to let it go.
And you mentioned being open and genuine, would that be a hallmark of how you want to be in that situation? Would that tell you you were, what would that tell you if you felt open and genuine in your communication with them?
Well, I guess I wouldn't be carrying some agenda that wasn't in line with who I want to be as a human being, you know? It's like, if I'm just letting go of everything and just trying to be honest and open, then I'm not hanging on to stuff that I don't want to define me. I'm not sure if that's mm-hmm. answering your question, but yeah, it's almost like a letting go. Just let go of everything and just be who you are, ask for what you need, and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, just walk away knowing that, you know, you did it from an open heart, and that's all you can do.
Is there a piece of this discussion that you would like to ponder more between now and the next time we speak?
I think, you know, I seem to keep going back to this, Anne, and I've talked about this with you before, but when I think over the things we've talked about now and dealing with both topics we discussed, it's getting back to that dropping down into the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason it just makes things simpler. You don't have to overthink things, and you're
mm-hmm.
coming from your essential self.
Yep.
And you know you're doing the best you can, and it provides some relief because, well, you did the best you can. You came from an honest space, and then, you know, just let go beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would that be a takeaway for you, something to give a little more thought, or at least awarenesses? It could be your green Volkswagen. Hey, I saw myself doing that this week.
Yeah, and this is actually the awareness I think I had last conversation, so I think it's an important theme for me to pay attention to, and I think it's kind of key for me. And it is kind of green Volkswagen because I kind of feel like I need this reminder repeatedly. Because
mm-hmm.
every time I come back to this at the end of the conversation, I feel, oh yeah, that's what it's partly even just about being that way in the workplace. Because I've, you know, not to get into another topic, but I've talked about like how, you know, that how we can transform the workplace by, you know, what if everybody was in an open heart space? You know, it just seems like that would transform who we are in the workplace. So. And that kind of ties into that larger kind of idea I've had, too.
Well, it's exciting to follow you as you transform your workspace. So I've captured your takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Which was, and tell me if this sounds right. This is just, I've got, talking down into the heart, relief, letting go, let the chips fall where they may, and your aha, your ongoing ahas, does that give you enough of a reminder of what you'd like to ponder?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then can we close with one of my favorite parts, which is your self-celebration and acknowledgement for today's call?
Yes. Thank you. Is that something that you're acknowledging me, and so thank you, or are you asking me to say something
else? I'd love to hear your acknowledgments for yourself.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for
well,
asking.
Okay, go ahead. Did you finish?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like to acknowledge the fact that I did this. I give myself credit for doing this because, you know, there's a little bit of nervousness to that. And
mm-hmm.
and And just coming back to that idea of heart-centered living in the workplace, it's a wonderful realization to have again, and it is a theme that I think is trying to emerge in my life. And so there's that acknowledgement, and I thank you very much, Anne, because you keep helping me to come back to that.
My great pleasure. My great pleasure. Thank you, Anne.
And thank
I think
so much.
With that, we are complete. Until
okay.
next time.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Anne.
And I'm going to sign off because I have to go into a training now.
Alrighty.
Is it okay time for me to sign off? Yeah.
It's a good time, and you take that heart-centered awareness with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Love you, Anne. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, great. All right. So, Anne, nice coaching.
Yes.
Beautiful job
Thank
today.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Jamie and I would love to ask you a few questions about your coaching session today. So I'm just going to start with, what was this like for you? What was the session like for you today?
I reminded myself of something Anne had shared in our setting this up. She said, I'm just going to do my best to forget there's anybody else out there. And about
mm-hmm.
a minute into it, I thought, well, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to do that as well. And it was easier to do than I would have thought.
All right. Excellent.
That, and it's a delight to speak to Anne for a number of reasons, for how quickly she moves, how aware she is. There's so much to acknowledge and celebrate in her movement forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a delight.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it really felt, as an observer, as I was listening to your coaching, Anne, it really did feel like you were, you know, it was just the two of you, and that you weren't aware of all of us being here observing, listening to the coaching. So, yeah, really nice job. You just had such a natural, comfortable style. You know, it was creating this, I felt like creating such a nice invitation for your client to go where she needed to go today
mm-hmm.
in the session. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, too, you know, you were clearly very focused on her. You have a great connection with this client. You were very focused on her without leading or advising her or suggesting. I wonder if you might speak a little bit to what would you say to coaches about how you keep yourself clear and focused without doing any leading. What would you say?
The key for me is to trust the innate wisdom of the client. I want to mm-hmm. say the client, but, you know, it's the innate wisdom of the guy at Safeway and the innate wisdom of the guy behind me in the car, too. I don't know what path they're walking.
Mm.
And it's easy to do that mostly. It didn't come up in this call, but I've been on calls with clients where I think, oh, I know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you the answer to that, but it doesn't, I don't do well when people say, read this book and your life will be swell. I learn best by doing and following my own innate wisdom. So when I keep that first and foremost
mm-hmm.
in my mind, it works out better.
Mm, nice, yeah. And so it sounds like, you know, as you're referencing that, it sounds like this is your life philosophy as you're talking about a guy in the grocery store line or something like that, right?
Yes.
That this is how you're approaching, this is your natural way of approaching life and people. That
everyone
has innate wisdom. Yeah? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I said everyone but my husband. And then I can say, and that's, you know, it doesn't get easier the closer we are to people, at least in my experience, because when we're close, I that much more want to share with you what I believe to be the capital T truth.
Right.
And if I can listen and provide that space, who knows where you're going to go?
Mm.
And it will be someplace good for you. So really and truly, the best thing I can do is listen and trust your innate wisdom. And I like to connect the dots. It's
right.
Not always easy for for me to connect dots when I'm talking, and it's nice if there's someone else there to connect the dots, and I can go, oh, yeah, I did, thank you.
I heard you do that at a couple places in this session. One time was you said to her something about, does that go back to the control you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we heard her say, oh, yes, it does. Thank you, she said. Mm-hmm. That was a great connection that you were able to reflect back to her.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's very valuable. And it also is a sign for me when I was doing training full-time, when I was able to be present enough that I could connect the dots,
mm-hmm.
I really knew I was in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a special place for me in training or coaching to be able to connect the dots, because it means I'm listening from at my own comfort level, hearing at my own comfort level, and I can reach back and bring forward. It's a good thing
mm-hmm,
for me.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out too that I heard you do that by not assuming that was, you know, but rather asking a question, noticing something, and then asking her a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jamie, do you have a question for Anne?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I just want to acknowledge the great coaching and say that I was struck by just your authenticity, and just who you are in the coaching is just so you, and your coaching presence is so strong. I love listening to it from that standpoint.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome. I just wondered, did anything surprise you in the session today?
I'm glad nobody said at the top of the call, you're going to cover three topics and you got 20 minutes. That would have freaked me out. but it happened. And again, I think it happened because it was, is this covered? Are you happy? Do you want to move on? Yes,
mm-hmm.
Let's move on. You know, and then following her lead, it worked out fine. But if I had somebody had said, "Yeah, you got 20 minutes, you got to cover three topics," I'd go, "This will be interesting." So that was a very pleasant surprise.
And you did.
And I'm glad I didn't know about it in advance.
Yeah, you did such a nice job of just reminding her of the structure in terms of how much time there was, but allowing that to be when she wanted to continue and move on to something else. I thought that was a great, the way you handled that part.
Thank you. Yeah, I would hate to say to someone, love to go there, but we have 30 seconds left. And it's like, so it's a little, doesn't always feel great to say we have 8 minutes left, but I prefer that to, sorry, your time's up.
Yeah. Right. Sherry, do you have any more questions?
Yes. I wanted to mention, actually, something that I noticed that I wanted to bring forward, Anne. And I love the way you started with her, giving her that space to settle in, but also then you said, you know, do you want to check in on your goal from last time, or do you want to dive right in? You completely
mm-hmm.
left it up to her. You didn't assume anything there, but you wanted her to direct the session and direct the, you know, exactly what was going to happen. You know, always putting
yes.
it into her hands. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was beautifully done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we go ahead and open up the lines and so that others can ask a question, acknowledge you. So if you have something that you would love to ask Anne about, something you're curious about, something you'd like to acknowledge that you heard in this coaching session, please go ahead and press *6 now. Just say your first name and go ahead and begin, and you need to press *6 now. Heather.
Hi, Sherry.
Oh, hello.
This is Peter. Peter.
Hi,
Hurley.
Peter. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Good.
I want to say to Anne, I love basking in your magnificence, Anne.
Can I just say, oh my God. That's it. Thank you.
I really do want to acknowledge you for some masterful coaching. And here's a couple of the mastery points that I picked up on is your brilliant use of silence. There are a couple of very poignant places within the coaching where she had said what she was going to say to answer your question, and you still held a silence. And in at least two places that I remember, she continued on in coming up with the gem or the jewel or the deeper thought. And I thought that was quite brilliant. And how you knew that she had more to say, I frankly don't know, because I didn't pick up on that there was more to say, but apparently you did intuitively. And it was a brilliant example of how a masterful coach uses silence. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Hello, this is John.
Yes, thank you very much, Peter. And John, go right ahead, please.
Yes, as the last person mentioned about Anne's ability to leave a space, and a silence to continue her ability to listen to what, her client was saying. And two of the goals of coaching, one of them is always listening, and the other is to help the person to take action. And sometimes those seem at odds. But I'd like to hear Kelly talk about the way she listens to help a client into action.
Okay. Anne, were you able to hear that question?
I missed just the very end. It was silence.
Okay, John,
action.
Could you just repeat that last part, please?
Sure. That sometimes we see listening and helping the person take action as being at odds, but Anne has a way to help a person seek to listen into action. And I wanted to speak a little bit about how she uses listening to facilitate a person into taking action.
Okay.
Thank you for that, John, because actually in my coaching agreement it says I will listen you into action. So you you stated that brilliantly. How I specifically do that, I think Peter mentioned the use of silence. I think the trusting the innate wisdom and not putting forth my agenda but reflecting back what the client has said. And one big reason for that is I don't have to sell what they just said. I don't know if that makes sense, but if they've just said, I have a little bit of angst coming up about uncertainty in my employment, they know that. They feel that. That's in their gut. As long as I'm following their lead, their innate wisdom, we're flowing. We're moving. And if I'm giving them my gift of rapt attention, my experience is just amazing things come out in that space. I don't know how else to say that, but amazing things come out. And I find that people, and myself included with my coach, I am willing to commit to action because it's come from within. Did that make sense? Did that answer that?
I can see how that can flow and also help the client not to be defensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you, John, and thank you, Anne. Who else? Again, just you need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. Yes, go ahead.
I'm calling from Canada, actually. This was suggested to me by a friend. I'm very excited about this. I've just recently transitioned to coaching from medicine, which is very, very different.
And
I'm very, very new to this, but it was such a learning experience. And thank you so much, Anne. That was wonderful. The thing I really loved is just how much you were able to accomplish in so short a time. and how she really went away with really feeling that she had accomplished a lot as well. I liked how you, I'm just getting my certification in wellness coaching, and how you centered her first and brought her into a really quiet space first, and that was really well done, beautifully done. And I also liked how you had her kind of acknowledge herself at the end, and that that it wasn't you just saying you did a great job, it was her saying that herself out loud, and I thought that was really good. But there was one question I wanted to ask you. In my training, we talked a lot about when you acknowledge someone, you get them to do something kinesthetic, like pat themselves on the back or clap or something like that. Now, can you speak to that at all, about the whole concept of celebration as a skill in coaching?
And I'm sorry again, I was right with you up until the last sentence.
Okay, I was just wondering if you can speak to, at all to the skill of celebration in coaching, and how what you have found in your experience to be the best way to do that.
The skill of celebration.
Yeah, celebrating what they have accomplished.
I love that. I love that. It's a mood for me, and I am reminded of a fabulous coach trainer who worked with me, who would walk in the room, throw his arms open, and say to everyone in the room, "I celebrate you." He was magnificent. The energy in that room rose, and it was just because I'm not normally as boisterous as that, I will sometimes just pretend I'm him. Nobody knows. And I will become that energy of celebration. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want to be celebrated. Anyone. I love the word. I love what it brings. I love how I feel when I say it to someone. And it implies to me going beyond, well, okay, yes, I committed that I would call three people who would be good contacts and I'll work on my resume. To me, that's different than celebrating. Anne was even celebrating the fact that she was on this call, even though she had a few nerves about it. That's, to me, a celebration. I wasn't sure of this, but I did it, and here I am, and I'm celebrating. So I love the word celebration. Thank you so much for bringing it up. I hope that answered your question.
Well, it wasn't quite when we were in our training, we were taught that you do something kinesthetic, and I found this to be really, really neat, like where you, like the person actually does something physical. You don't just say that I just really wanted you to celebrate, or I think that's, I acknowledge that. It's more than just you saying it to them. It's like you get them to, like, take your right hand over your left shoulder and give yourself a pat on the back, and I'm doing the same thing at the same time. So you're just like, you're feeling me pat you in the back. Or else sometimes it's like, wrap your arms around yourself and feel me hugging you. Or I had a French client, and she ran big events, hosting huge, like 1,000 people sitting down for a big dinner, and it was very stressful. And after it was over, they would all dance in the dining hall, and after to celebrate their accomplishment. And so we both had headsets, and we would both get up and dance. And I said, okay, now I want you to really dance, because this is a huge accomplishment. And so I would get up, and she'd get up, when she was in Montreal, and we would dance to celebrate her accomplishment.
Those are wonderful examples of the skills of celebration. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Who else has something for Anne? Question, acknowledgement, something you're curious about, something you want to bring forward that you observed in this coaching today?
Uh, Hi, this is Thea.
Hi there. Hi, please go right ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to acknowledge, I loved the part where you asked what she would like to ponder going forward, and getting that sort of nugget out of it, out of the session, for her to take away. That was just really wow. That was a different way of doing it, and I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
Thank you, Thea. Yeah, I think the word ponder is underrated. I like ponder and I like conjure. I like ponder has some imagery for me, and it sounds like it may have some imagery for you, Thea, as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just enjoyed the whole coaching session. So really thank you for being here and doing this with us.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Thea. Yeah, and I just want to comment, you know, Anne, you have such wonderful language. I've known you for a long time, and I always appreciate the way you use language. I love it. So I love your use of those words. Okay, how about one more? Who else? Sherry, I have a question.
Okay,
for
great, Jamie. Thank you.
And I was just wondering if there was anything that you were managing internally for yourself during this session.
Boy, that's an interesting question. Anything that I was managing internally. The first thing that comes to my mind is, was I physically comfortable in my surroundings? I had my bottle of water. I made sure I went outside before we started, but I'm not sure. Am I going in the direction that you were interested in? Anything that I was managing internally? Do you think I'm headed down the right path?
Yeah, your answer is absolutely the right path. And I was thinking about, for example, when your client said, gee, is there something else we can talk about? And in that moment, you needed to take care of her and, you know, let her know the time frame and also be present for her, et cetera. So sometimes there are conversations in our heads that are going on that we need to settle or set aside or make okay in order to be present for the client. That was kind of where I was going. But whatever your answer is perfect, of course.
Thank you. Thank you for elaborating on that. I think the only thing I was really aware of was the time, and I wasn't overly aware of that. I don't think I even checked the first 15 minutes. The screensaver's on, so I have no idea what time it is. But as I felt it proceeding, I would glance every couple minutes. And it felt pretty seamless. It also helps me that we had a 5-minute window there for closure, 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that's easier to hit than if somebody says you have to finish at 9:15 on the dot, and then you're going, oh my, okay, that's a real target. But this one, and I think the fact if it did make a difference that Anne and I had worked together for a couple of sessions once a year ago and that we knew each other, that I did not feel at all like she would think, oh, you cut me off. Right? That just wasn't part of the equation, and that was very freeing for me.
Yeah. Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Anne, for answering questions. Thank you, everyone who made a comment or an acknowledgement or asked a question. Jamie, would you like to do our last piece here, or one of our last pieces? Okay.
Yes, yes. So I just want to give anyone who would like to an opportunity to share a takeaway from today's session. would like to share? Something you're taking away? Remember to star 6 if you haven't unmuted already.
This is Heather again, and I, it's all about awareness, not action.
Beautiful. Great. Thank you, Heather.
Jamie, this is Peter. My takeaway is I love the way that Anne asked about, you know, the accountability and the follow-up up front by saying, you know, do you have a success story that you'd like to share? I just like the way she phrased that.
Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Peter. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your wonderful listening. So I'm going to go ahead and mute the line, and we'll finish up. Okay, so in closing today, Anne, I just want to thank you one more time for your masterful coaching. That was really wonderful to listen to.
Beautiful.
Thank you. My great pleasure.
Next month, we're featuring Monica Griffith, PCC. The call will be on May 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, and we hope everyone will join us and tell your friends. We're going to stop the recording now and give the final code word.